Good morning. This is Mark from MetalForever.com. We're speaking with Matt Barlow this morning with Ashes of Ares. Matt should be joining any minute. So we'll.
I'm here.
Get started. Oh, hey, Matt. Good morning. Thanks so much for joining.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. So I'm excited to talk to you. I've been a fan of your music and your vocals for a long time, and I think we have some mutual friends in the business, which you may or may not end up talking about, but. I know today we want to talk, start about your Ashes of Ares band and your new release, Well of Souls, which I think just recently came out. I had a chance to listen to it on Spotify the other day, really digging it. So what can you tell us about the new CD, and let's start there.
Well, it's new, right out of the gate. It's kind of a, it's been a while since, since the last record, obviously, and some people, were kind of wondering about that, things that occurred in between. Obviously, there were a lot of things that happened. We did change our label. We also, we had Van playing on the record, but he's no longer a full-time member. There were some things that occurred in his personal life with his wife that kind of put the band on hold for a while for us, and then. Also, he basically ended up, he was working with another band, Ghost Ship Octavius, which he's able to tour a lot more with and things of that nature. And, it's more of a, I guess, a financially more stable situation for him as well. So he did play on this record. However, he's not a full-time member. We asked him to play on the record because he was available. He was familiar with a lot of the songs that we had worked on previously, and so it just made sense. He's a fantastic drummer and a very professional and a great guy as well. So we paid him to do the record, and it worked out for everybody. But as far as the writing is concerned, we kind of made some concerted efforts to really look at the first record and try to improve upon it. As far as song structure, just kind of, doing things a little differently, because we wanted to kind of expand out a little bit and kind of spread our wings a bit creatively. We also knew that we wanted a little bit different tone to the entire record, not only writing wise but also sonically. We wanted a different sounding record. We didn't want it to be the same as the last, and there were things that we thought we could improve upon from the last one, like maybe making the mix a little more guitar rich, if you would. We're just trying to really make it's a heavy metal record, and it's a heavy metal band, and we wanted to really emphasize the guitars, so a lot of work with guitar tones and things like that. And the overall production in the mix, we wanted to do a lot of, I got to do a lot of things I wanted to do as far as layered vocals and things like that. I know some people don't like the layered vocals. I mean, there's all kinds of people that have different tastes on things, but to me, when it comes to it, I want the song to sound the best it can possibly sound, and if that means doing harmonies and things like that, trying different textures of voices, then I'm going to do that, and because I can. I'm basically at that point in my life where I go, I can do this. People dig, for the most part, people dig what I do, so I'm going to do it, and I had a lot of fun doing it. We worked with Rob Osterline from Terrarium Studios on this. I had worked with Rob just previously, prior in the same year, doing vocals for We Are Sentinels, and I had a really good time with Rob, man. He's a super nice guy, very laid back and very cool, and just had a lot of. Now I didn't record my vocals with him for this record. I recorded them at home, but I was in close, communication with him as I was doing it. So a lot of things, he helped me out a lot on a lot of technical aspects of it and things of that nature. So it was nice to have that, that guy I could bounce ideas off of and things like that. And then when we finally got to the mixing side of it, he was just, great fun to work with. So I think Freddie and I both had a really good time in the studio mixing down the record, but it's different. It's a different sounding record. I believe, hopefully for the better for people. Hopefully that, I know that some people, like on the last record, some people's opinion on the first record was it's a grower. You know, there's stuff in there. There's all kinds of stuff. If you're really listening, we put a lot into it. It's not the hit song, kind of stuff. We're not writing pop music. We're not writing top 10 music. This is heavy metal, and there's a lot of layers to it, and a lot of things that we want to put in there and make people listen and think and enjoy it in that regard. So I think the way that I see it, Ashes of Aries music is stuff that you go home, you put it in the CD player or whatever your particular thing is. You throw your cans on your ears and you really just get into it, and that's the way that I like music, and that's the way that I like to write music. So, and I think Fred.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of answered this in some ways, but my next question I was going to ask was just kind of the progression from the first release to this one. Is it fair to say this one probably a little better production? Maybe the song's a little more sophisticated. I feel like there's maybe a little more melody, a little more melodic, perhaps. I mean, would they all be accurate depictions? I mean, it sounds like you were definitely trying to kind of grow into the next, this new release.
Yeah, and it's weird too, because kind of the way that Freddie and I were looking at it, Freddie was actually looking at, as far as the way that he was writing his music and doing his he was actually I think he intended to definitely go heavier as far as the guitar sounds and things like that, and do some more. Progressive type stuff, progressive metal, but, definitely there's some more progressive elements in there, time signature changes and things like that, and that's what he was going for. And the music ended up sounding very, very heavy and very dark in a lot of spots, and I sort of went another direction I was doing some different things tonally with my voice, but also I wanted to do layers of harmony in there. I wanted there to be nice, nice, rich melody and harmony in like a lot of the choruses and stuff. And so that's what I was, that's what I was going for. There's some, some stuff in there. If you're listening now, because we don't, because it is a heavy metal record, we're not mixing it exactly like, there's a lot of, I want to say, quote, sticks moments in there, like harmonies and stuff like that, that I'm working on that are very, like, kind of, sticks-like. If you pulled all the music down and you were listening to just my vocals, you'd go, huh, that's, you might be scratching a little bit. It doesn't necessarily shine through in the mix because, again, we're doing a heavy metal record, so I didn't want those particular harmonies to drown out other stuff, and I didn't want this to be, this is not the Matt Barlow show. This is Ashes of Aries, and we wanted it to be a full mix, but I was really happy when I'm doing the harmonies and things like that, and I pull down the music and I can hear it, and I hear all these little nuances, and I think that people, if they're listening to them, they can hear them as well. It's just they're not in your face. So I urge people to throw on the cans and listen and just kind of take it in. And we're obviously shooting for, again, it's a heavy metal record. We're obviously shooting for the mix to be in the sweet spot at higher volumes, and that it is a trick. It's a tricky thing mixing a heavy metal record a lot of times, because sometimes you can end up really, really, really thin. You can really end up really thin up top at higher volumes depending on how you mix it. And we were trying to mix it so we get full strength at higher volumes. And hopefully that really comes through with this record. That's kind of what we were shooting for. And I think sonically, I think we hit where we wanted to be. So.
Yeah, no, it's really strong, and I really enjoyed it. And it's like anything in heavy metal, sometimes you got to give it 3-4 listens, and then you really start picking up the songs. But I just felt there's a lot of variety. I think there's even a couple slower tempo tracks in there as well. So, I mean, it's
right.
Very impressive. If I may ask you this, how did you approach, how do you approach writing for this band versus, for example, when you were in Iced Earth? I mean, I assume you're equally heavily involved in writing the Iced Earth style albums that you were a part of, but is it?
Well, no, I wasn't really. I mean, I've actually got more you know, more ability in this creatively. I think everybody knows that Iced Earth is John's baby. Now he may be trading off more with writing now. I don't know, because I don't like pick John's brain whenever we talk. You know, I don't pick his brain about music and stuff like that. That's Iced Earth is Iced Earth, and I do know that he and Stu have a really good working relationship, which is awesome, because I think that's really important for songwriter and vocalist slash songwriter to work well together. I think Freddie and I have a very good dynamic, but you know, I actually can contribute a little bit more. I contribute a lot more, I think, with Ashes of Grace. I do the main body, 95% of the songs, the vocal melodies, the lyrics, and things like that. Now Freddie contributes lyrics and vocal bits to this record as well. So that's, you know, we have the give and take, and then I come up with a song like Let All Despair. I did a basic acoustic stuff with the main vocal melody over it, and pretty much you can sort of tell with that song it's very the vocal melody is very much alike in each of the verses. It's not a standard typical song as it were. You know, it doesn't have like a standard verse chorus. You know, it kind of is like almost a verse slash chorus with each passing verse, and then and that's kind of the way it was written. And I said, hey, Freddie, can you make this a song now? You know, because I'm not that great of a guitar player. You know, and I don't
right.
You know, I don't envision the entire big picture, like as far as like the bass, drums, you know, guitars and stuff like that, lead bits. So then he took it and ran with it and made it a full song, you know, and it's awesome, man. You know, it ends up, and that's the cool thing about that collaboration. I didn't see the full picture, but I did see the beginning. You know what I mean? I saw like this is the intro, and this is the melody to the song. And then he just took it to another level, and then it just opened it up for me, to, like in the heavy parts, just to really go and fly. So, you know, I think that's amazing. If you're like me, that you can't write an entire song because you don't have the chops to do that, it's awesome to have a partner that can. You know, and I think that's really amazing. I think it's very cool to have that. And he, you know, we're on the same wavelength on a lot of things. And some things, you know, honestly, you know, I'll do a bit over a song that he's written, and he'll, yeah, I wasn't really thinking that was gonna be right. Can we try doing it this way? And you know, as long as everybody leaves their egos at the door, that's how you end up with good songs. You know, that's the way I see it anyway. You know, if I'm not like, you know, digging my heels in, else there are some parts that I might dig my heels in and go, man, I really think that this is a hook. You know, this is a good bit, and you know, he'll concede. But you know, I concede on a lot of his ideas as well, and I think that's really important if you're going to have a partnership. So anyway, I don't know if I answered your question, but we do end up writing songs differently. It works, you know, both ways. Either he presents me with something, or I present him with something, and we work on it together. So.
Where did you guys ultimately record this album? Cause I know in this day and age of you know, transferring and sharing electronic files, and it's easy to write a lot of songs, you know, remotely. But it seems like you guys got together to mix and master it, I guess, in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. But is that also where you recorded, or did you go somewhere else to record this album?
No, we recorded everything separately. I've recorded my stuff in my studio. Freddie did his in his studio, and Van did his in his studio. So. We did do some reamping at Terrarium, as far as like the guitar tones and stuff like that, because we wanted there to definitely be some, you know, distinctive guitar tones and bass tones and things like that. And you know, it was nice because we did. It was, you know, file sharing is amazing. You know, it really is a very helpful tool, especially when we live in separate, you know, parts of the U.S. I'm in Delaware, and Freddie is in Arizona. Van's up in New York. So it was just really nice to be able to do that. And then, you know, we sent all the files to Rob, and he had basic mixes. He knew kind of where we were going with it, because he He actually helped us out with our demo that we had shopped around, which is, you know, much like, you know, very little change as far as the direction. But I did re-record all my vocals because I just thought, you know, it's still demo, and there were some ideas that I had going into it going, I think I want to change that a little bit. I want to do this. I want to tweak this. So when I recorded, I did it in, you know, over a couple week span, which was nice too. That's kind of relaxing. It's a lot better than going into the studio for a week and going, okay, you got 4 or 5 days to record everything. Okay.
Right.
So it's definitely nicer to be able to do it, you know, in a more relaxed, you know, situation. I can get up in whenever, you know, I can do it whenever, you know, whenever I feel inclined to go out and do it. So that's always nice. But yeah, so it's definitely different in that aspect too. This is the first record that I've done where I did pretty much produced myself, you know, at home. I didn't have anybody telling me what to do or hey, you can do this better. And maybe that's not as good. I don't know. I'd like to hope that through the years I have some kind of idea of what I want to do and how I want to do it and deliver it. So hopefully it worked out for the best.
Yeah. And how many videos were you guys able to shoot so far for this release? I know The Alien, I guess, was like the first official single. And how many did you guys end up shooting?
Yeah, we actually ended up doing two with My Good Eye. And they're, you know, it's awesome because they gave us a great deal on the two. And, it, you know, we did do them kind of back to back. You know, we shot two videos basically in one day, and then, you know, we were able to do it. Yeah, Let All Despair was actually our first release, and so that released about 2 weeks prior to the launch, and then The Alien released on the day of the release. And then we had done Rock of Angels Records did a lyric video for Soul Searcher as well. prior to the release, you know, it's a couple of weeks before Let All Despair came out. So, but it was a lot of fun, man. I mean, it is, you know, whenever you sit there and do a song over and over and over again, you know, so you get all these cool looks. But it's still neat for me, the process, and I'm just in awe at those guys, Dave and Allie, that can sit there and go over this stuff and edit it and bring all this stuff together and make us look like, you know, rock stars or whatever, because we're not, you know, we're just a bunch of nerds. But it looks pretty cool. I mean, the video definitely looks pretty cool, and you know,
definitely,
I dug it. I think it turned out really, really well. So
yeah, no, they're solid, production's good, heavy riffs, like I'm really enjoying them as well. And so if I may ask you this, so then I, you know, the natural question's always, you know, about playing live shows and trying to tour behind this band and this release. So can you speak a little bit about kind of what your plans are for playing live shows?
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to, just like with the last one, man, we're going to try to get out there and play as much as we can. We are kind of bound to our career schedules and things like that, but you know, we do have the opportunity to get out there. The other thing that falls in is always the financial aspect of it. I know that right now, this day and age, it's a tough market, man, because everybody's touring, because that's how you make your dough in this business.
Yeah.
I make my dough by means of another career, so that's not, you know, I'm not going to be out there you know, going at it full force, because I can't, you know, that I've got other obligations. But if we can pick up some shows, if we can do some tours, if we can, you know, do some opening spots for other bands, you know, all the better, man. We'd love to do that. I mean, you know, we'd obviously like to get over and do some festivals if possible, because, you know, we can hit a larger segment of the heavy metal population if we can do that. So that's always a good thing. I don't like to promise, you know, the world to people, man. You know, all I can say is we will do our best to get out there, and if it's, you know, if it's financially feasible for us to do it, and that means, you know, in the big scheme of things, it means, you know, getting guarantees and stuff like that, so that we can buy plane tickets and, you know, rent vehicles and all that other good stuff. That's all very necessary in this day and age. We're not, you know, we're not young kids anymore. We can't just all throw our shit in the back of a van and go. You know, we have
right, of course.
We have to make yeah. you know, we have to make solid plans because we, you know, we got to get back to work at, you know, whatever time, you know, we need to do it. So I can't risk my personal finances and my family and career and all that other good stuff to do this. But, you know, in the best situations, and we have done it, you know, because we're responsible guys. We get out there and do it and we hump it, but it's a little different, I guess, for us.
So when it comes to trying to play shows and touring and things like that, so how do you try to do it in little spurts of time, 2-3 weeks, and is that your work kind of flexible with you on that, or how does that work for you just schedule wise?
Yeah, so long as I have, I use my vacation time, you know, essentially.
Sure.
So I just have to schedule it properly and get it out there. That's what I did when I went back with Iced Earth. You know, all those tours that we did when I was with Iced Earth, I worked it out with my schedule because I had the time to do it. But, you know, then again, that was Iced Earth. And you know, that they had the budget to be able to fly me from point A to point B, and you know, we were doing big festivals with big guarantees and stuff like that. So, you know, my plane tickets came out of the budget, and it was
sure.
and it was worth it, I suppose, for the band at the time. You know, this is Ashes of Aries. This is not Iced Earth, and so those big guarantees are not going to be there and stuff like that. So, you know, if we can get on and do, you know, a European, you know, do an opening spot for a European festival or something like that, that'd be great. Now, obviously, if the record blows up and goes crazy and we can get some solid guarantees, and then that's awesome. You know, that's where it'll be at. You know, if we're selling records and local promoters say, hey, it's worth it to get these guys here, we'll go anywhere they want us to be. You know, it really is about the financial aspect of it. It's a tough business right now, especially, and so we'll see.
I was actually going to ask you that, if I may, next, just kind of, and I have a lot of conversations with musicians and guys like Eddie Trunk on occasion when I see him. You know, the state of heavy metal in general, globally speaking. I mean, what's your take on it? I mean, on one end, you've got Iron Maiden and Judas Priest of the world still out there and
right.
doing pretty well, but then on the flip side, when you look at, you know, new young bands, a lot of times, you know, forced into playing smaller amphitheaters or even, you know, club shows like B.B. King's and things like that. What's your sense just overall, I guess, as a fan, I guess, of heavy metal and where you see it, you know, today, the state of the industry right now?
Yeah, I do, man. And I'm not going to lie and say that I'm, you know, I got my finger on the pulse of what's going on. You know, I'm sure that, you know, somebody like John, you'd be able to pick his brain a little bit more and certainly get, you know, more information on that. But I think generally, yeah, it is tough, man, because, you know, people don't sell records and make money anymore. You know, people sell records to promote a tour, and that's cool. I mean, that's the way it used to be. You know, that back in the day, people used to sell, you know, do singles and all that other good stuff to promote going out and touring, and that's how they would make money. And then it somehow, you know, at one point it switched, and then you got all these, you know, the quote rock stars, and you know, they were selling millions of records, and that's how they made their money. They had really good deals with record companies and stuff like that. But, you know, it's a double-edged sword, man, the whole technology thing, you know, where it's great for me as far as a writer and being able to share files and stuff like that. It also lent itself to piracy, and people just stopped buying music in the mass that they did anyway, because now you can just steal it, and
yep.
people don't seem to have a problem with that. So that in itself changed the industry. Record labels weren't you know, making great deals on records anymore, because they weren't making money, and you know, that's just it, man. That's capitalism. That's how it works. So now bands are out there busting their hump, and I think for the most part, even, you know, bands like, you know, Iron Maiden they're out there touring constantly, and they're making money. They're playing good sized venues and things like that. But at the same time, you know, back long ago, they wouldn't have played as many shows as they're playing now to sustain themselves. Now they're playing a shit ton of shows to make, you know, the fraction of the money that they used to make just selling records. So it's tough, yep. man. It's a tough business. And then on top of that, because like I said before, when you've got all these bands out there touring, it's a full market, man. There's like, you could probably go to a show every other day, you know, if you're looking for the shows. And so therefore, you know, when you've saturated the market, you know, that's not really helping the smaller bands. You know, if the market is saturated, then at that point, the metal listener has to determine, well, which band is worth going to see, you know, because I've got a limited budget. I'm sitting here at home and I'm going, well, this is my budget for entertainment for the month or whatever. I'm not going to be able to go see every band. So in that regard, then you're hurting as well. So,
yeah. And also, it sounds like, do you have to jump off right now?
I'll tell you what, man, I'll give him, this is Brett. I actually had done another interview with him. I'll give him a call back as soon as we're done here, man.
Okay. Yeah, we can wrap soon. Cause I know we've been on for about 30 minutes or so. I don't want to be obviously respectful of your time. And I know you're hopefully doing a lot of media around this release, but,
yep.
Yeah, just I guess the other thing I was going to mention is I noticed, like, for example, Queensryche, they've got a pre-sale for their new upcoming release, but it's a package with all kinds of autograph merch and meet-greet
right.
opportunities. It seems like, you know, just everything to try to, you know, figure out a way to sell the music, you know?
Right.
So is there anything else that, Matt, that you want to touch on or cover or anything you want to kind of put out to the fans that maybe we didn't talk about already about, you know, the new release and your band?
I can't think of anything right off the top of my head, man. I will say that I do really appreciate everybody's, you know, we've gotten a lot of great feedback for the record. And as always, we really, really appreciate everybody's support financially. I think that they get it. I mean, I come out here and I feel like I'm preaching. I know a lot of times, especially about the whole, you know, music stealing thing and all that, and I don't see that really happening from our fan base, you know, whether it be you know, ours or, you know, Iced Earth, you know, because I've kind of blend those two together sometimes because I know a lot of people still follow me from Iced Earth, so they get where, you know, where I land on things, and a lot of times I feel like they're like I'm preaching to the choir to them because they get it, they totally get the whole thing, and they understand that, hey, man, I've got to buy this. You know, if it's not a physical copy, then it's going to be digital. I'm going to buy it from a, you know, legitimate source so that at least I know the quote artist is getting paid, or at least in our opinion, in my opinion, you know, we're not, again, Freddie and I aren't out to make a ton of money on this stuff, but we would certainly like our record company to make their money back on their investment, because that
sure.
means we'll be able to do another record for them. And so, you know, I really, really endorse everybody going out. You know, we did a wonderful thing with getting Camille to do the art for this record. I think the physical copy of the CD and the LP are going to be awesome. I haven't seen them yet, so I can't, you know, I can't say that I've flipped through the booklet or anything, but I've seen the layouts and they look phenomenal. So
It looks like there's a two LP release with
yep.
looks like there's four sides basically. It looks like a bonus track, so that
yep.
would be
yep.
really cool from a collector.
Yeah, they wanted to do it double just because they wanted the sound, the quality of the sound on the records to be phenomenal, and I hopefully I suspect that they will be. The splatter design also looks very cool. I can't wait to see how that looks. And I hope that the sound quality is there for all that. The art, we wanted to do something really special. And again, that's our version of special, as far as just, we wanted to create something that people are going to want to get their hands on and look, you know, look at and read the lyrics along with the songs and things like that. And see the artwork, that Camille's created, man, because it's really, really, really beautiful, very dark, but very beautiful at
the
same time.
Yeah, and I think to your point, I mean, just from a fan perspective, it's, you know, simple formula. You know, buy a ticket to a show. If you go to the show and you get on a guest list, buy a T-shirt. You know, buy the vinyl, download, you know, grab the CD off Amazon, whatever, because to your point, I mean, that's just the way you got, you know, the bands keep funding, you know, being able to put out new music and support by touring and the whole deal, you know. So,
yeah.
Those are you know, it's not preaching. It's, I think, as much as it is just is how you support the industry and, you know, keep new metal coming out for people like guys like me to consume it, you know?
Yeah,
I got to share, I know you, we can wrap the call, but I just was going to share something really funny. I used to live in the D.C. market. I now live up in upstate New York, and actually I got into some show booking. So I booked Dokken last year, and I'm looking at doing some new shows this year. So I'll, you know, be in touch with your booking agent hopefully about that to see if we can get you guys up here maybe. But I know the little town that you, you know, work in Delaware, and it's on the way to the beach. So when I drive through, I'm always looking for your car. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll see Matt in this town.
Yeah, hey, man. And, if you do, please stop and say hi.
So I thought and my kids are always like, Mark, really? You know, Dad, you really, you know, you want to freaking see this heavy metal guy going through town? I'm like, yeah, I do. So anyway, I thought I would share that with you. It's kind of funny. So,
yeah, man.
Well, Matt,
reach out.
It was nice talking to you in this manner. I hope maybe I'll see you out there somewhere on the road, or maybe I get a chance to bring you guys up to Rochester, New York, where I'm based at the moment, and really enjoying the CD. And I, you know, wish you guys tons of success, and hope everything goes as you hope for this album and your band.
All right, hey man, I thank you so much. I appreciate it, and yeah, I'd love to get up there and hang out, man. So try to make that happen. All right.
Jam some metal.
Right on.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and thanks for your time, and good luck with everything. Really appreciate it.
All right, man. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much. That was Matt Barlow from Ashes of Ares. The new album, Well of Souls, is out now. So go check it out, download it, buy it, check it out on Spotify. And really want to thank Matt for his time today, and we appreciate the support of heavy metal as always, and we're doing our part to keep metal alive and strong. Thank you very much for listening, and till the next show, the next interview, or the next CD. Thank you.